Blog Talk Radio.
Nazim Rashid's album, Remembrance, River Nile, available on Amazon. Thank you so much, Nazim, for providing that as our opening music for our show. This is Dr. Danita Applewhite. Good morning, listeners out there worldwide, over 44,000 listeners out there that have tuned into our show and evidently like the topics that we come up with regarding students to teachers. Students being anyone that is willing to receive information, and teachers being those who are willing to share the information they receive. So you see, it's not necessarily academically, it's not an academic thing that we're talking about students and teachers. That's important, but we're also talking about the factor of there's education beyond academics that we share with each other. And so we want to make sure that we are including anyone that feels comfortable receiving and sharing information as a student and teacher. You know what, today is an interesting day as we approach. There's two things going on this month in February 2013 that are really critical to our staff as our sponsors, White Apple Institute, and the staff and board members have made it clear that we want to acknowledge Black History Month and all those who have paved the way for many Black Americans, African Americans to progress, and especially, of course, our area in school and workforce development. And it's been fantastic. The growth in that particular area for people of color has been fantastic. And so we continue to applaud those who have paved the way and those that are continuing to pave the way, especially in getting women involved more in sciences and math. And that's so important. That's been an area that has been very, very much overlooked in preparing our young women to enter the educational field and the workforce. Well, in addition to that, we also want to acknowledge that women have rights. And there's been so much on the news lately about women and violence, and we're concerned. We're concerned that there are women out there that are not able to participate in school and the workforce simply because they are women. And we know, many of us, that the history of humanity, if you will, okay, I'd rather call it human civilization, is interesting in the fact that we've always had someone, some group that is the underdog, so to speak, or the minority, or those that are overlooked. So it's really interesting to look at history and know that it's not just women. There's always a group of people that are oppressed. And it seems to be an indication of our characteristics as human beings. But I believe that we can change that and really come back to humanity. And we have one person holding online here, 602 area, 558. Good morning. This is Dr. Acolyte.
Good morning, mentor.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And
it's a pleasure to hear your voice.
Okay. And who is this speaking?
Of course it's Shamika.
Oh, well, good morning. I appreciate you calling in this morning, always.
It's
always
all my
good to hear from you. Okay?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Yes, ma'am. Hang on there in the line there, and we'll get back to you in just a moment.
Sounds good to
okay?
me.
All right.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, my friends. So what we were doing this morning as we were talking about women's rights, we all know that the world has changed. We all know that. And it's scary. It's a scary situation that the world has changed and that where a lot of adult students are afraid to participate in the world.
Yeah.
And the events that are going on in the world because they're afraid. Because the world has changed so much. And, you know, when we think about advances in the many fields, including technology, science, and entertainment, most societies around the world have not advanced in humanity.
Mm.
And that is one of the reasons why we're seeing such, we're being shocked by the fact that women are still being raped and mutilated and held back from participating in school and in the workforce, in being productive citizens, is because there's still this violence against women. There's still this lack of humanity. So this episode is truly dedicated to those women, to the many women out there who, in spite of, regardless of anything that's going on in their political realm, geographically, culturally, they have gone against the odds. And even those that have been labeled or categorized as disabled, okay, whether from anxiety, depression, or to being in a wheelchair or whatever, they have still, that most challenged group is still moving forward and succeeding in education and succeeding in the workforce. You see, the application of laws, and we've got a lot of laws out there, we've got laws on the books, okay, legislation that has been passed. But as Martin Luther King said in many of his writings, that you can change the laws, but the challenge is in changing the heart, you see. So the laws are on the books, but how do we change the heart? And we can't change anybody's heart. We can't make someone a believer in humanity. They have to want that for themselves. And we hope that this radio show will be part of helping people to desire to express their humanity. And the things that we discuss about students and teachers succeeding at school and work, regardless of whatever is going on in your life, that will be something that will bring attention to those who are interested in expressing their humanity. The issues surrounding women's rights to participate in society equally with men is very similar to human rights, and our attention is needed. That's right, human rights. Because in many, many countries around the world still, and I really am so embarrassed to say, even in the United States of America, there are women that are not equally, that are not treated equally as men. And so, therefore, they are not regarded as equal humans. And so we have a human rights issue as well as a women's rights issue right here in America. So if we have that in America, it's easy for me to see, and I hope for you to see, that because we are usually, in most cases, the leader in cultural and social change in the world, that that is a serious fact for us to consider, that we are still dealing with the human rights of women.
Yeah.
As one of the most progressive countries in the world. Now, I'm just amazed at that. And I don't know how you feel about what I just said, but feel free to share.
Who, me?
Yes. Anyone that's on the line right now. We have a couple of people on the line.
Being that my phone is dead almost, I'm going to make it kind of short.
But you'll
get to my gist. And the point is that I do agree with you when it comes to the humanity. But what I think that we could do as a culture and as women, even as men, is plant a seed. And just as simple as, you know, showing somebody in action how to treat someone, how to act towards this situation or how not to act towards this situation. Plant a seed. Let it grow. Will it flourish? Maybe. It might not. But the point is that we put it out there to try. And being a woman of someone who's been a part of indignation of my body, like rape and things like that, it did stop me from wanting to go to work. It did stop me from... But I figured that I'm strong enough, and with the help of teachers like yourself, who are willing to be a student and learn still as you're teaching, it helped me get through the fact that, yeah, I was put through some rigmarole that I need not have gone through. But I'm still here, and I can tell this story and let people know that you can rise above not only what your limits are, but surpass what the next person thinks your limit is.
Wow.
Because some people try to take your limits, and they try to take your everything. But that's what we have, people like you, mentors like you, beings like you, to show us what humanity is. And drop that seed, let it grow. If it doesn't flourish, it doesn't flourish. But if it grows, that's what your intention was. And it was all worth it, even if it just reaches one person. And through all the rigmarole my life has set up for me to endure, I have maintained, and now I am almost 36, and I have gotten past the fact of wanting to commit suicide because I had somebody like you next to me to safeguard me from the other side. I had your friend who would listen to me, who's the NBA young lady. And then we have the workers who we work with there who also helped me in getting my mind correct. I mean, if it wasn't for people like you, how do we make it in the community as such? But we make it because we know we have somebody like Miss Applewhite to guard us, Professor Applewhite to guard us and safe hold us till we get to where we need to be, even if it's from a distance. Even if it's over the phone, she's there.
Okay.
And as long as we can find that person, I think we'll be whole again.
Well, God bless you for that. And thank you so much, Shamika. Yeah, you've been a very loyal supporter of White Apple Institute and a great student. And I'm glad to hear your comments. It's just amazing that you're feeling a sense of equality with not only men, but also with other women in the world, and that you've continued to move forward and progress. And remember that the only way that you can do anything, just like I was saying a moment ago about making somebody do anything, no one made you do it. It was a seed that was planted within you by God when you were born, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that seed is lost for everyone.
Yeah.
We forget that we are part of God, and that we have the ability to succeed in this life, no matter where we are politically or financially.
Right.
And because we hold, we define what success is.
You're absolutely right.
And you've done a wonderful job with that. So thank you for sharing that. And I just want to give some stats to everybody in case there are a few people here that I won't be able to get to right away, but on the line. But feel free to use our chat to send your comments in. But I do want to share with you some of the things that have been going on around, or just give you some idea about women and the status of women in today's world. We've got over 1.3 billion poor people in the world, okay? So,
and I'm one of them,
all right? Yeah, okay.
Yes,
ma'am. Well, you know, that's only in the eye of the beholder, okay?
You got that right.
Okay, because, you know, when we think about what poor is versus poverty level is based on the amount of income you actually receive, but poor is truly a state of mind and environment that many people can't do anything about the environment, but they still have to succeed. So, but here's my point. 70% of that 1.3 billion poor people in the world that's reported are women. Okay? 70%, over 70% of them. So women compose most of these, the population of poor people around the world. And even in refugees, almost 80% of most refugees are women and children. So, you know, when we really think about, you know, equality, okay, those are some things that really hit us over the head, okay?
Yeah.
And make us really think about the percentage of women who are dealing with poverty, being poor, and another stat that I thought was real important to bring out was that out of two-thirds of the 130 million children worldwide who are in school, who are not in school, are girls. So, you know, high rate of illiteracy among adults. And I remember I was serving on a board for the Literacy Volunteers of America, and I remember that was one of the most critical statistics that jumped out at me was how many women are actually illiterate in the United States, okay?
Oh, wow.
And it's just unbelievable. But when you think about two-thirds of the children who are not in school are girls.
That's two-thirds. An amazing amount of money. I mean, people.
Mm-hmm. Right, okay?
Yeah.
And so women, on an average, are not able to access education, and not able to earn the same amount as men, okay? Because still we have statistics coming in that women are still not even making 3/4 of what men make, okay? And don't hold still, even though we're progressing in America, we still have issues with women in managerial positions or politically powerful positions, okay? And you know, I just thought this was kind of interesting, too, that women basically
I don't mean to interrupt, but I'm going to
go ahead and get off this phone.
Because it's dying, and I just want to approach all your listeners. Thank you for tuning in to the Apple White Institute and supporting us. Keep on doing what you guys do, because we appreciate you guys and love you guys to the fullest. And
Thank you. Don't let
anybody hold you back. Miss Applewhite is there for us, and Professor, I love you.
Thank you. Same here.
Yes, ma'am.
Thanks for joining us this morning.
Yes, ma'am.
As we continue with our discussion, we can see that, you know, and I've seen this so many times, even in my own classroom, where women have actually been literally pulled out of my classroom with a husband who did not want them to go to school. And so we deal with domestic violence issues that also are a hindrance to women progressing in education and in the workforce. So it's really, you know, the stats are startling here. But there's a positive that can be brought out with all of this. And that's what we strive for on the Student to Teacher Show, is not only, as our title brings out today, how to stop being afraid to succeed, but most of us need to understand what it is that stops us from being afraid to succeed in this world. And there are lots of different things. And one of them, especially when we're talking about women, is the injustices that are going on. Are the caller 200. Good morning. This is Dr. Applewhite. Good morning, 200.
Good morning.
Good morning. It's so good to hear you this morning, and I appreciate you calling in. You sound like a regular caller. Yes. You want to share your name?
Maria.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much for calling in this morning. We always appreciate you supporting our show and being there for us, and also being able to share whatever you feel is important when you talk about, especially this particular subject, women's rights, and especially women who have disabilities and what rights they have. Have you seen anything in your life that shares with you discrimination, maybe, about women with disabilities moving forward in the workforce and education? Maria? Anything that you've ever seen? Do you think it's equal for women with disabilities to move forward? Do you think that enough encouragement is given to women, especially young girls, when they're in school, if they have a disability? Are they encouraged to go to college? Are they encouraged to join the workforce? Or are they encouraged to be
independent? Oh, no. I don't think so.
No one really encouraged you or what?
Because you know how they have encouraged us, but sometimes they don't, because they say, you know, because we get that kind of money every month that mm-hmm. we should not even bother going to work or anything like that.
Uh-huh.
I mean, they have said that to me. Even when I have been in the Social Security, they said, well, you should not even try to even work, because it will not work for you.
So even when you talk about the government.
Yes, they have said that to us.
Mm-hmm.
You know my situation, because it's hard for me because of the language and because I don't have no experience, you know, working before. So it doesn't really help me, because I don't know what I can really do, and I don't feel like I'm prepared to do anything. So that makes it harder for me, even more.
Yes. Do you feel comfortable sharing your disability? I know you have before on the shows. Would you share your disability with our listeners so that they can understand what you've been dealing with?
Well, I do. I have cerebral palsy.
Cerebral palsy, uh-huh. And of course, you were born with that.
Yes, and I guess, you know, because I have learning disabilities, it's hard
uh-huh.
for me to learn things. It's hard for me to walk properly. You know, my coordination is not good. So, uh-huh. you know, when you go out there, I don't know. You have to be confident. I don't feel like I'm confident to go and get a job and be like a regular human being. I personally don't feel that way.
So you have not been. You don't feel that you have been encouraged in your life to join
whatever someone says
is a normal human being able to work and go to school.
Not. Okay, I feel like because of a situation,
mm-hmm.
I feel like they didn't have prepared me to okay, let me see what can Maria do for really for good, and see
mm-hmm.
what can we put her, how can we really help her to be out there and do something for this country, to
mm-hmm.
how we can help this country. Because I think that all of us can help this country and I let somehow, but I don't know how. Like I even had to tell my my coordinator, can you find me like maybe some stuff at ambulance to do for a company? And they did you, but they don't do nothing about it. So whatever.
So even when you try to find something that you can do to help society, to help the world, you feel that you've still been pushed down. You're not encouraged to go forward.
They don't really help you. They don't make the effort to say, okay, let's see if we can find a company that they can do something ambulance and we can bring it to Maria and help her and show her how to do it. Because I think I'll be able to do it, like, you know, even stuff an ambulance, something with my hands. And then I don't think like nobody, I mean, they listen, but they don't do nothing about it. So how can I do anything if they don't want to help me?
Right. And so what we need to do as citizens of this world, especially those of us who are leaning towards humanity, is to find ways to help more people, to encourage others, women, and specifically women with disabilities, to really see that they can be part of our society, part of our workforce. And so we need to do that early in life, not just now. I mean, now would be a great time for you, but also where you can reach back and you can see other young ladies who may have been born with cerebral palsy too and need some encouragement to see that they can participate in the workforce, whether it's stuffing envelopes or going to school to be a scientist.
Right.
Okay?
Look, in my case, my pastor, he told me that I can do, I mean, I'm doing the greeter in the church, even a greeter. I didn't know I could do that, but he put me to do that. So even a greeter to somewhere that you can be a help somehow to this country or to any country or wherever we are. To do something, to feel like we are part of something. You know what I'm saying?
So even working in a church, even churches could get more involved in helping women with equality issues. That would be nice if even churches could get involved and advancing our humanity. We have another caller online. I want to take her also. This is Dr. Applewhite. I'm sorry. Here you go. This is Dr. Applewhite. Good morning.
Hi, how are you today?
Number. Good morning. God is great, and our show is going on, and you're calling in from where?
From Mesa, Arizona.
Oh, wonderful. And who is this?
Reverend Rebecca Miller.
Reverend Rebecca Miller, thank you so much for calling in this morning. This is great.
I love your show. I love your positive output.
Thank you. And I'm sure that as spiritual advisor for White Apple Institute, that you have probably some really great ideas about how women can reach back and become more positive and encouraging to other women and equalize what we're doing in the workforce. I don't know if you had a chance to hear the statistics that I was bringing out. But
no, I did not hear that, but my input is to always look within someone else's patina and go out and polish other people, and they would see your beautiful color and hue shine brighter if we come out of ourselves and look into someone else's treasures and help their treasures to be built up even the more, and our treasure chest will be even brilliant.
Well, that's very much in line with Nelson Mandela's speech, which was written by Marion Williamson some time ago, where he encourages us to let our light shine. And as we let our light shine, that we encourage others, unconsciously we encourage others, whether we say it or say, come on, look at me or whatever, but we encourage them to shine their light too.
So
exactly, because our scars become their stars, and they would see that we don't celebrate the scar, we celebrate the victory through the scars.
Right. That's right. And you know, here's what's interesting. Women are beginning to advance in education and in the workforce, and that is because they are recognizing the light within, and they are beginning to share what they have with other people. And you know that we conduct this as a group discussion. So I'm asking those that are on the line right now and on the chat to mute their system so that background noise won't come through on the line. But what's really interesting is that as women are rising in educational levels and in the workforce, that they are actually making ways and encouraging young women, other young women, even young men, and especially those with disabilities, to overcome that concept of disabled and see what they are able to do, that they are differently abled people, and that they can still contribute. And if someone had done that for Maria, as she was saying earlier, things would have been a lot different in her life. And even now, as she faces her adulthood and trying to progress, she still finds blockages, the blockage with case managers and coordinators who are still telling her that because of her gender and her disability, that it is best for her not to to attempt to enter the workforce. And she can't even find things like stuffing envelopes. And hopefully White Apple Institute is making waves to change that stereotype, so that and joining with other organizations that are doing wonderful things throughout the world and bringing that to a reality. So we really appreciate all the women out there that are shining their light, Reverend Miller, like yourself. And it's just amazing to me when we think about how much work we have to do. We're talking about 70 to 80% of the women in the world not being able to access education and be part of the workforce because of their gender and political situation. We have a lot of work to do ahead of us to shine our lights. Don't you agree?
Yes, I highly agree. Our task is so large, but without the largement of it, we would not know the value that we have within ourselves and the demand that's on us. We can yet plow through. Every person that we help successfully is a chain. We're no stronger than the weakest link, and we go out and continue to strengthen other links in our chain.
Mm-hmm. Yes. When we think, you know, our previous shows have been about, we've been focusing a lot on violence because we've had so many things happening in the past year, especially, that dealt with violence and violence against women, violence against children, especially when we think about the children that were killed in Sandy Hook at the elementary school in Newton, Connecticut. The innocent lives that have been lost. And it's just interesting to me that when we think about violence in today's world, that women, of course, 50% of women experience some degree of violence in their life, domestic violence, everything from female genital mutilation to being unjustly imprisoned, or as the young lady in India was raped and shot, one shot in the head for trying to go to school. So these are things that are going around in the world as far as violence against women. And still, even though we see some horrible things going on, if we stay close to the pulse of humanity, we can still stay positive in the fact that if 50% of women are experiencing some degree of violence in their life, there's another 50% that are not. And it goes back to something my grandmother used to say to me, and I'm sure all of you have heard it, that it's all about the way you look at life. You can look at life as the glass is half full, or we can look at the glass as half empty. It's up to us. And there's still background noise here. And we have an... I'm going to have to mute someone here, so please be aware that I'm going to go ahead and mute it down on our switchboard here. Okay? And I'm going to go ahead and take this 928 caller who's calling in. Good morning. This is Professor Applewhite. Anita Applewhite. Good morning. Hello.
Good morning, Anita.
Good morning, 928.
This is John Estes.
Hello. Good morning. It's so good to hear from you, John Estes. Yes, psychologist in, let's see, wait a minute. Let me think. North Dakota, is this? Did I get that right?
I was in South Dakota. I'm in Payson, Arizona.
South Dakota. Okay, we're still getting a lot of background noise here. One moment. And I'm going to try to get that muted here just for a moment. Okay. All right, it's not here. I seem to be unable to unmute that. Okay. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yes. Okay, John Estes. Okay, we were talking about how to stop being afraid to succeed. That's our show today, and we're talking about women's rights. And I gave some startling statistics out there and trying to move us into a more positive light about the fact that even though there are terrible atrocities going on, not only because of gender or culture or race, ethnicity, okay, but that we have to look at the glass being half full, because that's the only way we're going to get through this, is if we start looking at the positive things that are going on. Don't you agree?
Yes. Well, it depends on, I agree that we have to think positive. And it's terrible that like up on the reservation where I used to live, 1 in 3 women, well, use another statistic, 80-something percent of the women on in other than white cultures have been raped or molested in one way or another by during their lives, and that's terrible. And you know, the traditions up there taught me that women are sacred because they do one thing that man cannot do, and that's bring life into this world. And it stems to me, the problem stems from a patriarchal attitude that women are on the planet solely for the pleasure of men. And until men are taught not to have that mindset and respect women as another human being and the bearer of life into this world, we're going to be dealing with this problem continuously.
And as we know,
the women, the Violence Against Women Amendment, or legislation, rather, has to be passed, not only passed, but enacted on. I mean, there's laws that prevent women from prosecuting the perpetrators. And this has to be changed. There's so many facets that have to be changed, but...
Well, thank you for that.
It's good talk with you.
And here's one of the things that I was bringing out a little earlier, is that, you know, we have laws, but and we have legislation that we've fought very hard and long for women to vote and women to be part of society. And we see that even in Saudi Arabia, they're starting to now move more women into the political arena. But we also have to understand that as there have been many men still today that are still the perpetrators, but there are also women who are also the perpetrators of violence to other women. And so there's an education that needs to be done for all of us about the value of women. And I appreciate all the things that you brought out about women being those that bring life into the world. Unfortunately, we have some startling statistics even on that, because we find that women's health today, we've got over 42% of the cases of women, HIV, are women. 42% of the estimated cases. And that's like 15 million, over 15 million women. Unsafe abortions. Okay, resulting in deaths all around the world. Okay, so there's definitely a large gap between the health of women and the things that are going on with those perpetrating violence and not taking care of the health needs of women. So there's a whole educational process that has to go on. And you, as a mental health counselor, is that right? Am I right with that?
I have a degree in mental health counseling.
Right.
I am not yet licensed.
Uh-huh. But you've worked with many people.
Oh, yeah.
Throughout the years.
My last job was as a clinician, too, with an organization here in Arizona. And there's a number of my clients were female.
Uh-huh.
And they were regularly having to deal with not only substance abuse,
mm-hmm.
but the way their spouses, boyfriends, and men
domestic violence,
treated them. And I helped with another clinician that handled domestic violence. Mm-hmm. And some of these women are just so beat down that they segue into your topic today. They're afraid to succeed because they've lived in a situation so long that they get the mindset that is the only situation they can live in.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's a Lakota elder told me one time, so you take a society that lives in a cesspool,
mm-hmm.
you know, of a sewage pond,
right.
let's say. That is their norm. That is
right.
what they know, and that is their norm. And if someone comes along and builds right next to them a pristine, clean, sanitary swimming pool,
mm-hmm.
they're not going to try. Maybe one or two
mm-hmm.
will go over and try it, but they will go back to the sewer pond
mm-hmm.
because that is what they know.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to break, it takes a lot of empathy and understanding to get these individuals to try something
mm-hmm. right.
new. And the more people that try it, they'll go back and they'll tell the other people, you know, not
mm-hmm.
having the sledge on them, and it was nice and clean.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to eventually get a mindset going.
That's very true. Very, very, very true, John. And we can see that conditioning takes place for men and women about what is a woman and what rights do women have and equality. And those are
I think it's broader than that. I mean,
mm-hmm.
yes, violence against women is epidemic. But as you pointed out, there are women perpetrating violence against women and perpetrating violence against men.
Right.
Violence, I think, is more of at the crux of the problem.
Yes.
And until we change people's mindset about reactionary violence and teach them how to verbalize.
Yes.
We're going to be in the same situation over and over and over again.
I love the way you said that, that because you rounded out everything that we've been trying to do with violence in schools and helping teachers to get through the violence and students to get through their fear about going to school. Violence is a very big issue, and you're right. That is the bigger problem. That is the bigger picture. Because when we really
stems,
think about it.
I think, it, excuse me for interrupting.
No, that's okay.
That stems from insecurity.
Mm-hmm.
And the insecurity stems from, conditional learning.
Mm-hmm.
Be using the wrong terminology.
No, I understand, but conditioning, the conditioning of the society you live in, like your example about the chief that you were talking about and talking about the cesspool versus the clean water. And that if you've been raised to believe that the cesspool is the norm for you, then that's where you stay. And if we've been conditioned to believe that women are not equal, and especially women with disabilities are not equal to other people, then that's where we stay until someone comes back, just like you said, from the clean pool and says, hey, you know what, it's not bad over here, okay? Or you know what, there are women that are really progressing in the world.
Oh, yes.
And we start looking at that.
There's,
and we see, yeah.
In my lifetime, I've seen the mindset being changed, which is very heartening.
Good.
And very, very, very good. Because there used to be, there weren't any, well, when I was growing up, about the only female that young ladies could look up to was Eleanor Roosevelt.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
And then progressively, women entered into other areas, you know, like drag racing. I can't remember her name. But there was a woman that entered drag racing and became a champion, won many races.
Yes.
And
that's
now
happening right now. Yes.
Danica Patrick from Scottsdale.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that pole position, Daytona 500, the first time a female has taken that position. She's the first woman to win an Indianapolis 500 race.
Wonderful.
Or a race
Wonderful.
In the, I think it was Indianapolis.
Yes,
but anyway,
yes,
you
a,
know,
a,
these milestones for young women to look up to, you know, that there's so many variables to the problem that, you know, where do you start?
Right.
And it's difficult to pick one place that needs to start at. So you just kind of throw stuff against the wall and see what sticks and go there.
And there's
numerous women that are entering, breaking the glass ceiling.
Yes.
The best one right now is Hillary Clinton.
Yes.
Many people said that she wouldn't be able to do anything as Secretary of State. She is one of the best Secretary of States that we've ever had.
In addition
I put her
to that,
above
she,
Dr. Kissinger,
yeah,
or right equal with Dr. Kissinger. And, you know, this is, you know, heck, if she runs for president, I'll vote for her.
Well, you know, we appreciate everything that you've shared with us this morning. We have about 9 minutes left on the show, and I want to make sure that I think there's another comment that someone's been trying to make for a while here. We're going to go to the 471 number Caller, we don't have a lot of time, but I wanted to make sure that if you have something to say about women's rights, that you do, that I give you that voice.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Dr. Applewhite.
Uh-huh. Good morning.
You know, you mentioned earlier that men, you've had students that men pull their wives out of class, make them drop out of school.
Right.
I believe men are jealous. They want to be the breadwinners. If the wife works, they want the wife to bring the less check than theirs. I think it's a lot has to do with the way their upbringing is.
Yes.
You know,
that the conditioning that John Estes was talking about, the conditioning that takes place. So they're conditioned to believe that. And I hope that within the show, that as we talked about perpetrators being both men and women, that you've gained an understanding that it's not all men, of course, that are doing this. It is some men, okay?
Yes.
And also that there are men that are in the women's rights movement. You're hearing one this morning, John Estes, who is just applauding women. So we know that there are men out there that are truly helping the cause of bringing equality to women in school, in education, and in the workforce. So we appreciate that. But we also know, as we've been bringing out in the show today, that education at the base level of just violence and humanity is very important. We can see all these advances happening in all kinds of sciences and technology, but we need an advancement in the area of humanity, in the field of humanity. That's what we need, specifically when it regards women. So any comments further on that, and I will move to the next caller. Any other comments from any of our callers out there before we begin to close our show? We want to make sure that we acknowledge, and we'll come back in just a moment, Mr. Estes, to you, and maybe you have something wise that you'd like to say at the end of the show. But I do want to give kudos to, number one, our sponsor, White Apple Institute. That can be located at whiteappleinstitute.org. And your donations to keep our radio show going are appreciated. And so please make sure that you visit our website and hit the donate button and give what you can to keep this broadcast going worldwide. In addition to that, we want to thank our veterans out there for the work, the fine work that they're doing. We encourage people to make sure that they take advantage of those of you that have been in the service, take advantage of the great loans that are out there now for veterans, especially in America. And so we encourage you to call the Veterans Administration and find out how you can get involved in buying property. We strongly encourage that, especially for women veterans out there to do the same. Don't wait for the marriage ring. Go ahead and find out about property out there for women who are veterans and have that eligibility. Okay, so returning back to how to stop being afraid to succeed, especially if you are a woman and dealing with the rights of women around the world. We have John Estes online, who is a mental health counselor in South Dakota. I'm sorry. Did I say that right?
No, I'm not a counselor yet.
Yes,
I have a
right.
mental health counseling degree.
That's what I mean.
And I'm not licensed.
Yes, okay. And we appreciate your input.
And I'm in Payson, Arizona.
Oh, okay. So you're in Arizona now. And so we appreciate you for coming on the show and sharing your insights. And we appreciate, Maria, are you still there?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. We appreciate you sharing your not only your disability with our listeners, that you yourself, just to reiterate, were born with cerebral palsy and still feel that there's a lot of work that needs to be done to encourage women with disabilities in the classroom early in life so that they can feel comfortable in going to college and entering the workforce. So we thank you very much for sharing that with us. We appreciate all of the callers that have come on this morning, and we close with a very interesting statement, again, from Marion Williamson's writing. And that is that women, we encourage women to look at themselves and to know that they are powerful. And that most of the time that our a fear to succeed is based on the conditioning that we've received, that cesspool kind of conditioning that John Estes brought out. And we encourage you to look at how powerful you are within yourself, that you are powerful beyond measure because you are still equally a part of God. Whatever you call God, whatever you assign to God as the creator, you are part of that. So continue on with the good work that's going on out there. Continue, those of you that are carrying a torch, shine that light, continue to shine that light, and reach back and pass that torch to other women. And we can change the course of the world if we stay focused on the positive. Remember, the glass is half full versus half empty. Thank you so much for joining us this morning on the Student to Teacher Show. This is Dr. Applewhite, and we're signing off this morning and hoping that all of you have gained something from this great conversation. Anything further?
No, thank you.
I'd just like to wish you, Dr. Applewhite, and White Apple Institute much happiness and good health and much success.
Well, we certainly hope that you join us again on the show for many of the issues that we're dealing with helping people to stay in school and stay motivated, John Estes. So please feel free to call back and share with us your insight, because we do appreciate you.
I have a question. Does Fine Numbers show up on your dial?
Yes, I have it. As a matter of fact, I am recording it now. Okay.
Okay, I invite you to give me a call, and we can
absolutely
further this discussion.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, everyone. Yes. Thank you so much, everyone, for being part of our show this morning. And hopefully we have changed some of your minds about not being afraid to succeed. And you will share this broadcast with other women around the world. We now close with some music from Wes Ricks, who shares with us his flute music from his album Two Worlds.